This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Thursday, April 23rd. I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, Illinois Public Radio's Amanda Vinicky will have a report on an executive order signed by Governor Pat Quinn on Earth Day, aiming to reduce the environmental impact of state operations. We'll also check your forecast for Champaign-Urbana, a warming one this weekend. And one programming note, we will be discontinuing this service, the podcast, after tomorrow, but we will always have newscasts available for download at will.illinois.edu. Now we'll look at today's news. The family of a Texas man who was shot and killed by officers in Vermilion County early this month calls the incident racial profiling and the investigation a cover-up. Speaking in Urbana yesterday, the parents and brothers of Toto Kaiwu say the 23-year-old was a nonviolent man who was simply studying to be a doctor in Carbondale. Officers with Champaign and Vermilion County and the University of Illinois contend that on the night of April 6th, Kaiwu physically assaulted a Villa Grove police officer, attempted to back over him with the car, leading to a 35-mile eastbound chase on Interstate 74. After the car was stopped, officers from the department say he got out wielding a machete and hunting knife and was shot after ignoring commands. Kaiwu's brother, Toby, says the information simply doesn't add up.
Just trying to be a better person, trying to get an education, trying to get a job so he can contribute to society. And I just feel bad for the fact that this could have been any black male in the heat, in the dead of the night, at 10 o'clock just driving, and only God knows what happened. But we do not believe what the Illinois State Police are telling us.
She's already filed Freedom of Information requests for all evidence regarding the incident. Meanwhile, Champaign County Sheriff Dan Walsh defends the officer's actions on the night of April 6th, citing video of Toto Kaiwu buying the machete and attempting to run over the Villa Grove officer. But there will be no video of the shooting, as Walsh says another vehicle blocked the view of the one camera on the scene, that of the Villa Grove patrol car. Kaiwu's family criticized authorities for failing to produce a video of what led to their son's death. And Walsh dismisses any accusations of racial profiling, saying there was no initial reason for an old Toyota to appear suspicious.
I think the particular facts when they all come out are actually going to be the officer was behind the vehicle and the gentleman stopped in the roadway and went back to the officer and that the gentleman stopped before the officer turned on his lights or did anything like that.
Walsh also dismisses talk of a cover-up. He says asking state police to conduct an independent investigation is as objective as the agencies involved in the shooting can be. Walsh says that investigation should be completed by next week. All evidence will be turned over to Vermilion County State's Attorney Randy Brinegar, who will determine if the use of force was appropriate. Al Klein will serve as Champaign County Democratic Chairman for another year. Central Committee members voted last night to have Klein serve out the term vacated by Tony Fabry. While Klein called the vote one of acclamation, it was far from unanimous. AM580's Jim Meadows has more.
Klein was the winner, but many committee members were upset that the vote was on a motion naming Klein alone, with no chance for nominating other candidates. Klein says the Central Committee was free to vote down the motion appointing him and entertain other nominations, but the majority chose not to.
We have a split here, which has been difficult, but I think is not unreachable. We should make some progress toward that in view of what's coming up.
What's coming up is the 2010 election, when Republicans will try to pick off Democrats on the Champaign County Board and in local legislative seats. If there had been other candidates nominated for Democratic Party chairman, one of them would have been Kevin Sandifer of Royal. He instead ran for first vice chairman, losing to Urbana Mayor Laurel Pressing. Like Klein, Sandifer spoke for party unity despite the quarrel.
I think that we've got two choices now. We can either keep beating ourselves up, or we can pull together and try to work as a group to focus on the things that we all agree on.
The Champaign County Democratic chairmanship became vacant last month when Tony Fabry resigned following questions about his work attendance as county auditor. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
The sun was beaming in an Urbana neighborhood, and so was one of the city's most famous natives. Chicago Sun-Times film critic Roger Ebert watched as city officials unveiled a bronze plaque in the new sidewalk in front of a Washington Street home where he spent the first 19 years of his life. Ebert greeted friends and neighbors at the ceremony, and he thanked participants through a computer voice synthesizer. He lost much of his lower jaw to cancer 2 years ago. Ebert's wife, Chaz, says the appreciation Ebert has for his hometown is genuine.
He said that he had just an idyllic childhood here in Urbana, that he got a very good education. So this is an enormous honor for him, just enormous.
Ebert is attending the 11-year-old film festival that bears his name. Meanwhile, the Eberts have announced a $1 million gift to the University of Illinois. The money will create the Roger Ebert Program for Film Studies Fund, When other donations push the fund to $5 million, it will become the Roger Ebert Center for Film Studies. Ebert became film critic for the Sun-Times in 1967 and won the Pulitzer Prize in 1975. The Roger Ebert Film Festival continues today after beginning last night, running through Sunday at the historic Virginia Theater in Champaign. For the latest newscast online, go to will.illinois.edu. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Foster. Illinois government will now function under a new set of environmental standards. Governor Pat Quinn signed an executive order yesterday, Earth Day, which aims to reduce the environmental impact of state operations. That includes changes at the governor's mansion in Springfield, which is getting a bit of an energy reduction makeover. Amanda Binicky gives an overview.
The sprawling red brick mansion has been the official residence of Illinois governors since 1855, long before the concept of global warming was a hot political debate. The current resident, Governor Pat Quinn, says he wants to take it into the 21st century in terms of conservation. That's why there are now two 55-gallon white plastic barrels, rain barrels, hooked up to gutters that reach down from the mansion's roof, which Quinn held a press conference to debut.
Basically, the idea of rain barrels is to collect the rainwater before it goes into the sewer system. And by collecting the rainwater, you can use that in a positive way to water the lawn as well as water plants. It is a way of recycling water.
Quinn says it's hard to quantify how much money it will save, but he says there's a clear environmental benefit. It lessens demands for treated water, and it takes some strain off of overloaded sewer systems that get flooded during heavy showers. A change to the interior of the mansion is easier to quantify. So far, 122 LED, or light-emitting diode, bulbs have been installed. According to a calculation by the LED Way, the company that donated them, the long-lasting bulbs will cut nearly $5,000 a year from the mansion's energy bill. Quinn says he hopes that the thousands of visitors who tour the mansion each year will learn about methods like rain barrels and LED bulbs and will be encouraged to also go green. State agencies, well, they won't have much of a choice. A new executive order from Quinn outlines an array of environmental mandates on state government operations.
Well, we're going to really use the power of government to reach out across Illinois to work with families and businesses and other governments to make sure our state is number one, the greenest state in America. That's our goal.
The order's widespread. It even tells agencies to make bike racks available and changes pest control procedures in state buildings. More targeted extermination will make for fewer pesticides being used. The more expansive changes include a requirement that state agencies nearly cut in half the amount of waste they send to landfills within 6 years. By next year, agencies will have to reduce how much paper they use by 10%. The governor's director of sustainability, Kate Tomford, explains how that can be accomplished.
Using email and electronic distribution more, updating and maintaining all mailing lists, and formatting documents, such as adjusting margins or font sizes to reduce the number of pages, and then reusing pages that have only been printed on one side.
There are also mandates that by 2015, one out of every five new cars the state buys be hybrid, a percentage that goes up even more in later years. Electric cars will become a bigger part of the state fleet, too. Employees are encouraged to conduct their meetings over video conference and carpool, but when they do use state vehicles, they're supposed to fill them up with E85 biofuel, and all state cars will be equipped with iPass transponders, so the cars won't use gas idling in toll lines. Tomford admits some of the initiatives may cost more time or money, but she says there's a payoff.
People are busy. A lot of these, I think, are savings devices, though. I mean, you think about iPass. It's a hassle not to have it. So there are some simple things like that that are just common sense. We should be doing them. In most cases, we are. But to have the governor say that it's a priority will really make it happen.
Clearly, where it makes economic sense, we should look at going green where we can possibly go green. But we can't go overboard doing things that are going to cost the taxpayers more at a time when we can't pay our bills.
That's Senator Dave Severson, a Rockford Republican. He says Illinois needs to be careful not to get too far ahead with initiatives like buying hybrid or electric cars when they haven't been around long enough for anyone to know how long they'll hold up or how much maintenance will cost.
You know, there are a lot of people that jumped onto the ethanol bandwagon years ago that have ended up spending significant amounts of money with virtually no return, and now science coming out saying, well, that may not be the way to go. So why should we be the ones jumping on that bandwagon right away?
When it comes to environmental policies, Democratic Senator Martin Sandoval of Cicero has a different issue. He's upset that Quinn has come out against raising the state sales tax on gasoline. Sandoval wants to increase the gas tax to raise money for infrastructure and mass transit projects.
I think it's ironic because Governor Quinn, who has traditionally been an environmentalist, knows better that supporting a motor fuel tax to pay for a capital ban is a good environmental measure. It's being a good environmental steward because it puts people off the roads and into public transportation.
But Quinn, who's pushing an increase in the state income tax rate, says he prefers revenue enhancers that are based on a person's ability to pay. Quinn will have to work with lawmakers to reach an agreement on a new budget, but when it comes to his environmental goals, Quinn's moving on his own. Quinn has long fashioned himself a champion of conservation, and he says future plans are to develop more wind and solar power projects. He's only been governor for a couple of months, but his efforts toward a greener Illinois could reap benefits far into the future. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
In the forecast for the region today, mostly sunny, the high around 72, mostly cloudy tonight, the low around 52, mostly sunny Friday, the high around 82, partly cloudy and breezy tomorrow night, the low around 62, windy conditions Saturday, mostly sunny, the high around 82 degrees, partly cloudy Saturday night, the low around 52, mostly cloudy Sunday and Sunday night, the high around 82, the low around 58 degrees. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. For Thursday, April 23rd. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.